had you spoken about your experiences and life story of Holocaust surviving before that?
Yes, I had, but it's very hard for me, not only mm-hmm. that I have a memory gap.
Mm-hmm.
We were interned in a labor camp, and I have no memory of that. I have prior, and then getting to the family that saved me. I don't know how I got out of there. Everything that happened, well, while there, I couldn't tell because my parents never made it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the family that saved me, and I have, my story was told to me by a phenomenal woman, which I would love to invite for her to come. She is a retired teacher. At the time, she wasn't. She lives in eastern France, near Sedan. This is where we were interned, in that part. And she was a teacher in a very small town, and a gentleman, an elderly gentleman, came over to her because he was looking for facts, historical facts during the war. And he starts telling her there were Jews interned in this village. And she says, I never heard of it. And she did not believe him. And he kept on persisting. I think by the second or third time that he came over, he got her curiosity, because she's also a historian. And she went into the town hall records during the war, and sure enough, there they were.
Wow.
And he was trying to do some research or maybe find facts about his own family. He was a survivor. And she got the bug. She tried, no, she not tried. She traced every person named in the records to see whether they had survived or not.
Mm-hmm.
And she was successful except for two. She couldn't find me and another woman. She had no death certificate from me. And you know very well that the Germans kept fantastic records.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no record of my death, and another one. So ultimately, what she did with those stories, she is dedicating monuments to all the victims that died in those camps in the area. And there were multiple camps that are not known. Nobody talks about the labor camps, mm-hmm. the forced labor camps, and how the French cooperated willingly with the Germans. Said, okay, go ahead. So, and she's still doing it. So, of course, after she was done with the village that she lived in, she's doing the entire area. So, P.S., let me say this. I would say that's about 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I get a phone call. And this lady with a very strong French accent who's trying to speak English, saying, I am looking for me. She gives me my name, and I said, strange call. I don't want to give out my identity. And she said, she's still speaking English. And I said, okay, I'll be kind. I'll switch to French. And she tells me that she's looking for me. And I said, you found her? And she said, is it your mother? And I said, no, it's me. And she had a huge sigh. She said, I've been looking for you for 4 years.
Oh, my
God. So did she say she called you Raymond?
Yes.
And then Nathan?
She even had my married name and my maiden name.
Oh, okay.
Of course, she had my maiden name, and she was able to find out about me because I was there locally. I think she had found my school records. She just didn't know where I was. So she said, "Oh my God." And she proceeds to tell me that, I'll never forget, it was a Saturday morning. Phil was out. I'm crying hysterically when he comes in. He said, "What's the matter?" She was dedicating, there was the first monument that she was dedicating to the Holocaust victims, including my parents. And she said, "It's next week." I said, "I can't go." You know, it's like news, and I never wanted to go back. And when Phil heard about it, he said, he worked on me. He says, "You have to go. Not this week." He says, "We have to go back." And turns out that I decided, okay, it took about a year, and we planned a trip, and I was surrounded by family from everywhere. My family from the States, England, Israel, Spain, all joined me. We were about 30 people, my children.
Oh, wow.
And we went to the monument and dedicated again and said Kaddish.